Last night, we had mentioned, among other things, that the Svarno has a tendency, even more so than other Mefarshim, to always interpret the actions of the Avos and Imos in a very, very positive light, even in situations. I mean, obviously, all the Mefarshim, you know, see the Avos and the Imos as, you know, Gedolim, as people who were of incredible stature. But here and there, in other situations, some of the other Mefarshim might point out that a certain act that was undertaken by one of the Avos or the Imos, again, is open to criticism in a certain way. You know, they shouldn't have done this, they shouldn't have done this exactly in this way. And the Svarno, consistently, will always take an approach that portrays the Avos or the Imos, you know, these great people, in the most positive light that one can possibly imagine. So I want to continue with that theme with something that we're going to see tonight, starting off with the discussion of the Bris Bein HaBesorim, the covenant between the parts. So we know, the Pasuk says, in Perek Tesvav, Pasuk Ches Vayomar, Avram Avinu said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem Elokim, Bamor Eida Ki Iroshena. How will I know that I will inherit Eretz Yisrael? And on the surface, one might be inclined to think that the very question perhaps reflects poorly in Avraham Avinu. What do you mean, Bamo Edaki Yiroshena? How will I know that I will inherit Eretz Yisrael? Kodesh Baruch Hu is already twice, earlier in Parshas Lech Lecha, come to Avraham Avinu and said, Lezarecha, is some variant of Lezarecha etenes haaretz hazos, I'm going to give this land to your children. So what more do you need to know exactly? So that's what we saw last. So along those lines, by the way, Rashi has two interpretations. One of the interpretations seems to be somewhat critical, relatively speaking, of Avraham Avinu in this regard. The previous pasuk had said, two psukim before had said that after HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, don't worry, Eliezer is not going to be your only heir. You'll have a son who will succeed you. Vehemin Bashem. So Avraham Avinu believed in what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him. On that, Rashi comments, Vehemin Bashem, lo shoa lo osal zos. Concerning the promise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you'll have children, that you'll have progeny who will be able to take over after you, so Avraham Avinu was content with Hashem's answer. He didn't ask him for some kind of sign. Aval al Yerushas Haaretz Shoal Lo Os V'Amar Lo Bama Eida. In contrast, says Rashi, to the issue of Avraham Avinu's children inheriting Eretz Yisrael, where Avraham Avinu said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not enough that you told me. I want an os. I want a sign. You know, give me some guarantee that my children are going to inherit Eretz Yisrael. What do you mean a guarantee? HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised you already. And this somewhat critical interpretation of Avraham Avinu's acts within Rashi continues in the Rashi's interpretation of the second half of the Pasuk. It says in Pasuk, Vayachshevel lo tztaka. When Avraham Avinu believed unflinchingly in the fact that Hashem would give him children, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu considered it a merit for Avraham Avinu. He said it reflects positively upon you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu choshva le'Avraham l'schus l'vstaka ala ha'emuna she'emin bo, says Rashi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you know, it's a good, you know, it's positive. It's very, very reassuring that you, Avraham Avinu, believe in the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the promise that I'll give you children without any hesitation. The implication in Rashi seems to be, but that's in contrast to your the degree of hesitation that you have in accepting the promise that I'm going to give Eretz Yisrael to your children without getting some kind of oath, without getting some kind of sign. So in other words, in Rashi there's a little bit implied criticism of Avraham Avinu on some level. Not so in the Svarno at all. Not so in the Svarno at all. So how do we understand, how does the Svarno understand Bamo Eida Ki Iroshena? How does he understand this question? So writes the Svarno as follows. Bamo Eida, how will I know, says Avraham Avinu, that I will inherit Eretz Yisrael? Ki ula yechtu habonim, velo yizku li rash. I have no doubts that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has made a promise to give me Eretz Yisrael, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is capable of delivering on that promise. But there's a concept Chazal talk about, Shema Yigrom HaChet. Maybe I or my descendants will sin, and that will mess up the promise that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has made. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has made a promise, that's true. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu on his end is 1,000% ready to deliver on that promise. But maybe we won't be worthy. So Bamo Eda Ki Roshena, according to the Svarno, is not Cholila, any kind of criticism of the Ribbono Shalom, or any doubting in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If anything, it's self-criticism. It's Avraham Avinu saying, how do I know that my children are going to have the merit to inherit Eretz Yisrael? You made a promise to me. Okay, so I get that. But how do I know that it's going to continue with my children? So to respond to that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, make the bris ben habesarim. What's the role of the bris ben habesarim? So in Rashi we saw that Rashi labels the bris ben habesarim an oath. It's a sign. Why do you need a sign? So maybe it's along the lines that the Svarno had outlined in his Hakdama, his introduction to Sefer Bereishis, where the Svarno had said, again, along the same lines that the Ramban had said, sometimes when HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes a promise, and he wants to underline the promise to make it clear that it's certainly going to happen, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has some kind of physical action performed in order to cement the promise and make it 100% clear that it's going to come true. So perhaps that's what Rashi means over here, that the bris ben habesarim is an oath. In other words, I don't just want a promise. I want a promise that's backed up with some kind of physical sign, some kind of material activity that will guarantee, the oath, the sign, serves as a guarantee that it's going to take place. The Svarno himself has a somewhat different understanding of the bris ben habesarim, and he writes in Pasuk Tes, Perek Tes Vav, Pasuk Tes as follows. Kichali Egla, Ribbono Shel Olam says to Avraham Avinu, take a calf, you know, and all of the animals you're going to use for the bris ben habesarim. L'chros bris, comments the Svarno, in order to make the covenant. L'man yeh devari gzardin sheyeshimo shvua she'eno miskareya. The role of the bris ben habesarim is to back up the promise with a shvua, with an oath. And says the Svarno, based on Chazal, that if you have, it's a Maimer Chazal in Rosh Hashanah Daf Yud Ches, if you have a Gzar Din that has a Shvuah, if the Ribbono Shel Olam not only decrees something, but kaviyochel, as it were, whatever this means for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, makes a Shvuah, makes an oath, that the item under in question is going to come true, so that Gzar Din, that decree will come true no matter what, even if circumstances change. Avraham Avinu says to the Ribbono Shel Olam, I know you promised me Eretz Yisrael, but let's say my kids are not deserving, so what's going to be? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says back to Avraham Avinu, I'm not just promising, I'm reinforcing my promise with a shvua, with an oath, and that's unbreakable. That under any circumstances is going to come true, regardless of whether or not the circumstances change. And that indeed, says the Svarno, is a Beferish Apostle. It's a Pasuk later on in Sefer Dvarim, Perek Tes, Pasuk K. Says Moshe Rabbeinu, Lovit Sidkascha, Uveyosha Levavcha, Atobol Ereshes Asartzom. Don't think that you, Jewish people, are going to come into Eretz Yisrael on account of your incredible merits and your righteousness. You're not so ayayay. But rather, it's leman hakim es hadavar, asher nishba Hashem lavo sechol liAvram liYitzchok liYaakov. Kodesh Baruch Hu swore to Avram, Yitzchok, and Yaakov that he's going to bring Klal Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael. That shvua is something Hashem can never go back on, and you know that's regardless of whether Klal Yisrael are deserving or not, right? So, and we find that, you know, repeatedly in Chumash, the notion that HaKadosh Baruch Hu nishba, that he swore to give Eretz Yisrael to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Where did he swear? So says the Svarno, that's the bris ben habesarim. The bris ben habesarim creates the shvua that locks kaviyochol HaKadosh Baruch Hu in to this concept of giving Eretz Yisrael to Klal Yisrael. We then know, so they engage in the Bris Bein HaBesorim, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Avraham Avinu, you should know that your children are going to be in a foreign land for 400 years. They're going to be enslaved. They're going to then be freed. They're going to come back to Eretz Yisrael. He gives them, as we know, the whole story of the Shibud, of the subjugation in Mitzrayim, and the subsequent Geulas Mitzrayim, the subsequent redemption from the exile in Mitzrayim. Why is all of that necessary? Now again, let's look at it from the Sfarno's perspective. The Sfarno is saying that the whole point of the Bris Bein HaBesorim is a Shvuah. It's an oath to concretize and finalize. It's the stamp on the document to make sure that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's promise to give Eretz Yisrael to Klal Yisrael can never be undone in any way. Fine. So make the Shvuah. What, you have to go into a whole Maisa, you know, and by the way, you should know, Klal Yisrael, they're going to go down to Mitzrayim, they're going to be enslaved. Very nice. You know, as they say today, TMI, too much information. Why do I need all of this? Just make a Shvuah and be done. If you tell me that the Bris Bein HaBesorim's function was to be a prediction of future history, okay, so I understand why it's there. But that's not the way the Sfarno reads the Bris Bein HaBesorim. The Bris Bein HaBesorim is the Shvuah to cement Klal Yisrael's connect, you know, to cement this promise and to make sure that it's not going to be undone. So why the history? So comments the Sfarno, Hodio Sibas Ichur Yerushas Habonim. Now that I've sworn, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that I am definitely going to give Eretz Yisrael to Klal Yisrael no matter what, but I now have to explain the fact that you're not going to get it right away. Because the truth is, that would be the follow-up question. If Klal Yisrael indeed are going to get Eretz Yisrael no matter what, so then that should happen right away. You know, why is it going to take over 400 years for this promise to come true? So he explains, number one, Kilo Sholem Avon Ho Emori Ad Heino. He explains that the Knaanim, the inhabitants of Eretz Yisrael, have to reach a certain level of sin before they're deserving to be driven out of Eretz Yisrael. And essentially, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, on a certain level, according to the Sfarno, is apologizing for the fact that the Yerusha Sa'aretz, that the inheritance of Eretz Yisrael, even though it will definitely happen, but it's not going to happen right away. Afalpi shani nishba losei Sa'aretz levonecha, I swear, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to give Eretz Yisrael to your children, lo yiyezeh miyod. It's not going to happen right away. And then, says the Sfarno, you know, in explaining why it's not going to happen right away, Derech Agav, by the way, HaKadosh Baruch Hu describes a little bit of the history that's going to take place. But the history is meant by way of explanation, how come you're not going to inherit the Eretz Yisrael right away? In the course of addressing the history, the Sfarno, without really calling attention to it, tips his hand with regard to an issue which is discussed by Chazal, discussed by Rishonim, and the Sfarno has a somewhat unique perspective on this particular issue. The question is, why did Klal Yisrael have to be subjugated in Mitzrayim? It's very interesting. You know, the Torah spends an awful lot of time talking about the period of time that we spent in Mitzrayim and the Geula, the redemption from Mitzrayim, and you know, the Torah, the Tanakh in general, are usually not shy in identifying the causes for the suffering of the Jewish people, why Klal Yisrael had to go through, say, the Churban HaBayis, the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash and the like, why the kingdom of Shlomo HaMelech had to be torn into two parts. You know, the Torah, the Nevi'im are usually not shy in addressing these issues. Nowhere, really, does the Torah ever explain why Klal Yisrael had to be subjugated in Mitzrayim. You know, why couldn't, okay, we had to wait. We couldn't inherit Eretz Yisrael right away, right? Because as the Pasuk says over here, Kishlo Sholem Avon HaEmori Ad Heino, the sin of the Canaanite inhabitants of Eretz Yisrael had not reached the peak where they were at the point where they could be driven out. Okay, so you know what? So bring Klal Yisrael to Boca for a couple of centuries, let them hang out over there, and then, you know, they'll come back and they'll inherit Eretz Yisrael. Why'd you have to bring them to Mitzrayim and have suffering and have death and have, you know, destruction? Like, why was all of that necessary? So, we find Chazal already talk about this. Chazal offered different explanations. Again, some of them seemingly very, very pinpointed. Chazal say, for instance, again, one opinion in Chazal is that Avraham Avinu conscripted people who were learning into the army, and that's why Klal Yisrael were punished, that they had to go through the Shibud in Mitzrayim, that they had to go through the subjugation in Egypt for so many years. Rishonim address it. You know, they point to the Pasuk in Devarim that describes Mitzrayim as the Kur HaBarzel, as the smelting pot, you know, for the iron. And they say, you know, Klal Yisrael, not that they were sinful, but they had to go through this traumatic experience in order to shape and transform them as a nation. That was a transformative experience, even as it was a difficult and painful experience. So perhaps it was a sin of Avraham Avinu, perhaps it was just the need to transform and to mold the Jewish people. The Svaro gives an entirely different explanation. He says, you should know that Chazal tell us that kol zman she'echad min ha'shvatim kayom lo hischil ha'shibud. Chazal tell us that as long as one of the sons of Yaakov Avinu was alive, Levi was the last one who passed away, as long as one of the original shvatim, one of the sons of Yaakov Avinu was alive, there was no shibud, you know, the subjugation did not begin in Egypt. Why was that? So he said, so the Svarno says, that's because in those in that generation they were tzaddikim. That's, you know, it's not as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu was waiting for the Shvatim to pass away. No, the Shvatim were tzaddikim. The generation of the Shvatim were tzaddikim. So because of that, Klal Yisrael did not deserve to be subjugated. Aval karo kasher hevu es darkom. But after the Shvatim passed away, says the Svarno, the Jewish people in Mitzrayim began to veer from the proper path. And again, he quotes the Navi Yechezkel Perichov, Kamo Shehir HaNavi Ba'omro, the Pasuk says in Yechezkel, that Vayamru bi, Klal Yisrael in Mitzrayim rebelled against me, Hashem, V'lo Avalu Shmoi Eli, they did not want to listen to me, V'esgilulei Mitzrayim lo azovu, and they did not want to abandon the idols which they embraced in Egypt. And had it not been for the fact that I had mercy on the Jewish people, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, again the Pasuk in Yechezkel, I would have destroyed Klal Yisrael in Egypt. That's how evil they were. That's how wicked they were. And that's the extent to which they had left the Derech Hashem, the path of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So says the Svarno, why were the Jewish people subjugated in Egypt? Very simply, they were evil and they deserved it. Right? On a certain level, it's the easiest of answers. In theory, it's a fascinating thing to think about, you know. I think it's a correct implication from the Svarno. The Svarno is implying that had Klal Yisrael in Egypt been tzaddikim, the whole Shibud Mitzrayim, the whole process of being subjugated and enslaved in Egypt could have been avoided. It was not inevitable that Klal Yisrael would be subjugated in Mitzrayim. You know, in theory, they could have gone down to Mitzrayim and just wait. The only thing that was necessary was for them to wait out the amount of time before they came back to Eretz Yisrael. In theory, had they gone down to Mitzrayim, and had the kolel that Yehuda ben Yaakov Avinu had set up, you know, been a flourishing place of Torah, and everyone would have just sat and learned there, you know, for the period of time, the 210 years that they were in Mitzrayim, they could have just sat there and they wouldn't have had a subjugation and nothing would have happened, and when the time would have come, they would have just somehow or another gone back to Eretz Yisrael and inherited it. The Svarno doesn't say so in quite so many words, but I think it's implicit. And what the Svarno is saying, the reason that Klal Yisrael were enslaved in Mitzrayim was because of a lack of tzidkus, because of a lack of righteousness. It wasn't the response to any sin of Avraham Avinu. It wasn't a necessary way of molding or shaping Klal Yisrael. It's because we didn't do the right thing. So Mimela, HaKadosh Baruch Hu punished us while we were in Mitzrayim. Right, so then you get involved in the question. So okay, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu mentions it in the Bris Ben Habesharim, you know, v'avodim v'inu osam arba me'el shana. So doesn't that, in a sense, force the Jewish people, you know, you get involved in the old question of Yediyah versus Bechira. How could they have the Bechira to do the right thing if it was already foretold? But on some level, that question is really the same question which the Rishonim, the Rambam, the Ramban, etc., discuss with regard to the Mitzrayim. In other words, you know, couldn't the Mitzrayim have pleaded, hey, you know, why are you punishing us? We're just fulfilling the terms of the Bris Bein HaBesarim, right? So maybe Klal Yisrael could have said the same thing as well. That's one approach. Alternatively, maybe you could say like this. Remember, according to the Svarno, the history of what's going to happen is really just a footnote to the Bris Bein HaBesarim. The whole point of the Bris Bein HaBesarim is the shvua, is the oath to ensure that Klal Yisrael will inherit Eretz Yisrael. By the way, as a caveat, you know, buried in the bottom of the agreement, Kodesh Baruch Hu tells Avraham Avinu, by the way, I feel so sorry, I won't be able to act on this right away, because kilo shalem avon ha'amori ad heino. And by the way, I know that Klal Yisrael and Mitzrayim are not going to behave, and they are going to be enslaved. But like so many predictions that are made and even uttered by Nevi'im, if the people do tshuva, they can be overturned. So in other words, if you view the Bris Bein HaBesarim as this absolute prediction of history, come what may, the kasha is a stronger kasha. But if you view it just simply as an afterthought, by the way, the real point of the Bris Bein HaBesarim is the shvua, the oath that HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes, I'm going to give you Eretz Yisrael. And by the way, let me just tell you how things are going to play out over the next couple of 100 years. And let's say Klal Yisrael were to do tshuva and were not to pervert their path in Mitzrayim. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu would be very happy to strike out the Avodim Ve'inu Osam Arba Me'el Shana. In other words, that wasn't the main point of the Bris Bein HaBesarim. That was, you know, merely a caveat, you know, a footnote, you know, to the main point, which was the Shvua. And, you know, like other things, you know, when Nineveh does tshuva, so they're spared, you know, the Nevuah to the contrary notwithstanding. What's that? Right. So, in other words, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could, you know, that was HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaking to Avraham Avinu in terms of what he knew was going to be the outcome, but Klal Yisrael could have changed the outcome, you know, and they could have done away with everything. By the way, if that is correct, what I just said is correct, then the Svarno's approach would also answer the kashas of the Rambam and the Ramban. How could HaKadosh Baruch Hu hold the Mitzrayim accountable? Because V'avodim V'inu Osam Arba Me'el Shana is not an ironclad promise that has to be fulfilled under all circumstances. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it were, speaking off the record, you know, it's just, you should know, FYI, Klal Yisrael are going to end up being enslaved in Mitzrayim because they're not going to do the right thing. But, you know, it's not an inevitable, you know, consequence. If it's not an inevitable consequence, then the Mitzrayim have less of a claim to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why are you punishing us for this thing that happened? You know, so that, at that point, this is already speculation within the Svarno. Maybe the Svarno means this, maybe he doesn't. But if we're correct in this pshat and the Svarno, so it could be that would be the easiest answer to this issue, which the Rambam, the Ramban, you know, the Ravid, you know, all the Rishonim weigh in. How could HaKadosh Baruch Hu have punished the Mitzrayim, you know, punished the Egyptians for, you know, basically just fulfilling the terms of the Bris Bein HaBesarim? This was not the terms of the Bris Bein HaBesarim. This was a little footnote, you know, to the discussion of the Bris Bein HaBesarim, and it was not something that was necessarily stuck in stone. Okay, that's in terms of the Bris Bein HaBesarim, and again the approach that the Svarno takes. We should just note that the Ramban, in his comments on the Chumash, takes a very similar approach to understanding the point of the Bris Bein HaBesarim, He doesn't use the language of the Svarno, that what the Bris Ben Abbasarim accomplishes is that it introduces a Shvuah into the equation. But the Ramban points out the question, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has already promised Eretz Yisrael to Klal Yisrael, to Avraham Avinu. What does the Bris Ben Abbasarim add? What's being added over here? So the Ramban also writes, the Bris Ben Abbasarim essentially is an added level, it's a layer of guarantee that the that Eretz Yisrael is going to be delivered to Klal Yisrael, even if Klal Yisrael subsequently sin. And according to the Svarno, Taka, Klal Yisrael do sin, and really, by rights, perhaps they would have lost the right to go back to Eretz Yisrael, but they were protected by the Shvuah, which was the fundamental aspect of the Bris Ben Habisarim. Right? So it gives us a little bit of a new light, a new insight into the role that the Bris Ben Habisarim plays. And here, you know, the Svarno's essential idea is already contained within the Ramban, just in a slightly different presentation. Okay, we'll pick up tomorrow night. Be'ezus Hashem, Rabbi Chananya ben Akasha.